Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek protection with God from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With the name of God, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM radio listening audience, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, featuring your host, Mark Shahid and Quran Shakir. And we greet you with the Muslim greeting of peace, understanding that real and true peace comes only from God. And that's a special kind of peace, the peace that only God can give. And that greeting is Assalamu Alaikum. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. Dear listening audience, this is a learning lab, and we hope you are in the learning mode because you are tuned into a program focused on examining marriage and the rudimentary techniques for being a good mate, finding a good mate, and the do's and don'ts and prescriptions for managing the successes and the beauty within that marriage. While we are making our introductions and opening announcements, we ask you to share with your family and friends that you are listening to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. To do that, you can make a post and invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And we are now ready to bring in our co-host, Mark Shahid. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and noble and generous messenger. And what follows in that excellent salutation, the prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shahid. I'm the host, facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night here on IWDM Radio. And Quran and I would like to welcome those who may be attending for the first time. We want you to feel welcome to press 1 if you have any questions or comments on anything that will be disseminated tonight on a very timely topic tonight that will be entertaining. And we also want those of you who are listening by way of the Internet, we know we have quite a few people listening by the Internet, for you to be a participant. You do have to call into the studio, as Quran just gave. And we want to say, please bring an open mind, open heart, and bring your notebook and your pencil or ink pen with you, because inshallah, God willing, there will be some noteworthy things that will be said tonight, and most certainly you want to take down this number if you're listening by way of the Internet so that you can call into the studio if you have a question or comment or maybe some of the information, education tonight on the topic that we'll have tonight in terms of conflict resolution in marriage and all. You'll be able to do that. And that number, I was just taking a little time to give you opportunity to get your ink, pen, and notebook, if you will, is 714-816-4673. Once again, it's 714-816-4673. That is the number to the studio. and you'll be able to ask the question. All you have to do is just press 1. Graham will notify me that you have your hands up in the air and that you have a question or comment, and you can do that at any point or time of this learning lab. So as Karan said, we hope you're in a learning mood. Before we get into tonight's topic on conflict resolution in our relationship, we want you to know that this learning lab, as well as the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, it has the same foundation, the same sources that we use for this learning lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, which is Al Quran, which is the final revelation to all of humanity. Notice I said the final revelation to all of humanity, not just for Muslims, but for all of humanity, as it gives guidance in every aspect of our life, including what topic we're going to be entertaining tonight. And the second source is the life example of the demonstration of the Quran by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means the prayers and peace be upon the Prophet in demonstrating the Quran. And the third source is a tafsir. Tafsir simply means the clear explanation by a scholarly leader, Imam Waiz-ud-Din Muhammad, in terms of Quran and also the life example of the Prophet in the demonstration of that. These are the sources that make up the foundation for this learning lab. So this learning lab is going on. It is 7 years now. It is 7 years. It started in October of 2015 on the sister station AM 360, and it has continued here on IWDM Radio. So we want you to sit back, listen up. Any questions or comments? Then please don't hesitate. Don't deliberate. Press 1. And it's been the tradition of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We always like to do an overview for those of you for last week. If you missed it or you didn't tune in at all, then you'll have an idea of what we covered last week. And we had quite a few callers that called in and made contributions on the benefits of marriage. That was a little mini-series where we took about 3 weeks to talk about the benefits of marriage. So you can go into the archives at IWDM Radio, and you can retrieve that 3-week series that we did on the benefits of marriage. And as always, for an overview, one of the best overviewers I know, my partner and friend, Karan Shakir. Assalamu alaikum to you, Karan. It's always wonderful to hear your voice here on IWDM Radio on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab.
Yes, indeed. It is good to hear your voice as well, and always good to spend this time with you and our listening audience. And as you said, we are going to look at what we talked about last week because we want to get into this subject this evening. We have some folks who have sent in some questions. So we'll get to those, and it's pertaining to that subject. So when we get to it, then we can address it. But last week, alhamdulillah, as you said, we were looking at the benefits of marriage. And as we looked at the benefits of marriage, we first looked at the fact that commitment is an important benefit. And having someone who shares your commitment on many levels. So we have the commitment to the sacred institution of marriage as a benefit. And is our commitment is first to the Creator, and that is to do what is right. And that covers every aspect of your life, including marriage. Doing what is right won't become an option. It will be our way when we look at doing what is right according to the Creator. And if we want to be in accord with God's will, we have to also be in accord with His word. We have to be in accord with His plan. And that means that we have to be inclined toward marriage. And we don't believe that shacking or cohabitating is an option for us because we're committed to God and what He has shared in His book and in His plan for how we should live our lives. We believe that marriage is a protection from zina or from anything that leads us to shameful deeds. And when we looked at this, One of the callers called in and said that one of the benefits for them in marriage, and they had been married 50 years, they believe that you have a longer life and the decreased risk of mortality. You have better health physically and mentally and a better quality of life, as well as a lifelong companion. And with that, we also share some research, and research verifies what that brother who had been married 50 years shared, and that is that married people live longer, healthier lives. The power of marriage is particularly evident in late middle age, is what the research shows. And it showed that if you are 9 out of 10 married guys who are alive at 48, then you will make it to 65 if you're married, versus if you're not married, then it's just 6 out of 10 will make it to 65. And that was a big discrepancy. We also did the research of women, which was a little different. 9 out of 10 women will make it to 65, whereas if you're not married, then 8 out of 10 will make it. We also looked at another listener called in to share that they found that it was a benefit for the, oh, another one had been married 50 years, and they had been married, had been together since the age of 12, and at this time he was a widower when he called in. They had 11 children, but he talked about the fact that that other part that we talked about, having a lifelong companion and someone to share the bills with, but he also talked about how he had great respect for the role that his wife played in the relationship. And so you can have clearly defined roles inside of a marriage relationship, and that makes it beautiful as well. We had a couple that had been married 30 years who shared, and I hope he's listening tonight, because he was sharing that marriage is not easy, but anything worth having is worth fighting for, and that every marriage has its ups and downs, which we will talk about tonight. And then another caller called in and said that they didn't want their this is the same one. He said he did not want his children to be without a mother, and so he wanted to have an intact family. And he said that his wife is his rock and his advocate, and that when he was ill, she was there for him. And so that's a benefit of marriage, to have somebody who is there for you. And we had several who called in, so I'm just highlighting several of them that called, so without giving all of them. They talked about, according to research, how marriage generates social capital. The social bonds created through marriage yields benefits for the family and for others, including the larger society. So marriage is a transformative act, changing the way two people look at each other, how two people look at the future, and how those two people look at their roles in society, and it changes the way that things are done significantly. And we also have, let me find one more to share with you, and that was the benefits of children in a marriage. And so we had several people talk about how they benefited from having children as a result of the marriage, and that we shared that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah 16, Ayat 72, He has made for you mates and companions of your own nature, and made for you out of them sons and daughters and grandchildren, and provided for you sustenance of the best. And then Allah asks, will they then believe in vain things and be ungrateful for Allah's favor? So having children is another benefit of marriage. And children who are in a two-parent household, they're usually their biological parents, they lead healthier, longer lives as well. And it shows that these children grow up with great models. They feel better love than children who are in either divorced families or families that are parents that are not together. Children reared outside of intact marriages are much more likely than other children to slip into poverty, become victims of child abuse, to fail at school, and to drop out or use illegal drugs. And so that is a part of the challenges that children may face in a marriage, that if the parents are not together. So we want to stay together sometimes for the children. We've heard people do that, but we don't want to stay in marriages that are unhealthy. or not good for us. So marriage lowers the risk that both men and women will become victims of violence. That was another thing that we shared last week. And it was so many beautiful couples that called in and shared so much. One couple shared that there is no love at first sight. There are those looking for love at first sight. And they were saying that love takes years of work, and that's what being married does. You stick with it, and you put in those years of work. And as you grow through this partnership, the love is grown. And I thought that was a very beautiful comment. And we have so many others, and we want to thank all of our callers that called in last week. And we thank you for being tuned in this week. And, Mark, I turn it back over to you.
Yes, I want to say alhamdulillah. For those who don't know, that means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost always. Want to commend you once again, Quran Shakir, on an excellent, excellent, very substantive overview for last week on the benefits of marriage. I got to say this, one that stands out in my mind that wasn't mentioned, very, very important. One of the first that Quran mentioned in terms of the commitment being a benefit, the commitment to do what is right, the commitment to be obedient to what God's word is, and in God's word also is his will, and also the plan that designed in terms of the purpose for the sacred institution of marriage, which is very important. But the benefit, one of the main benefits is pleasing our Lord and Creator. This is very, very important. And whenever you please your Lord and Creator, it is a benefit to the human being. And it's a benefit to the human being because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, has given you a free will. And that free will is giving you a free choice or decision to be in compliance with his word. Or you can accept what God says, or you could reject what God says. But for the Muslim or for the mu'min, for the believer, whatever they do in life, they want to please their Lord and Creator. They don't want to displease, and they don't want to incur the wrath of God. This is in the Al-Fatiha, as Imam Muhammad was teaching us, the Al-Fatiha, when we talk about the Mudubi. We don't want to be on the path of the Mudubi. Meaning that it is that we know what it is that God says, but we take our will and outright reject God's sign or his message to us, even in the sacred institution of marriage. Allah has, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has established that as a sacred institution for us. Who knows best what's for us than the one that has created us, has originated the life, the pattern in which we are to live. And we even see that in animal life. In animal life, you have some animals that are lifelong partners. And then you have some animals that's not, you see. So this is a sign even in the natural world to us and all. And those mammals that are lifelong partners, they have roles and responsibilities that's there. So that was, I echo what Quran has said last week. We had a lot of callers that called in, and that they shared the insight, the wisdom, that the blessings that they saw that came in their marriage and all. So please go back into the archives and retrieve that. I think you really will appreciate all the great benefits that the sacred institution of marriage can bring into our life. So tonight, the topic, we're going to flip the script, and we're going to be talking about conflict resolution. And before I turn it back over to Quran to start us off with this, let it be noted that when we have to address this, because this is real, and there are conflicts that actually come up in our relationships, yes, even for Muslims in terms of that. But always remember that the first source that it is that we want to go to is the Quran. What is it that Allah says about, you understand, where there is a disagreement? And will we disagree? Yes. you know, but then that disagreement can regress. It can regress to something that's really, really ugly. And that's just using our opinions of how we feel about something is not the way or the answer, you understand, when there is a disagreement. It should not become a conflict. Whereas that now, you understand, it digressed to the point whereas we have animosity, anger, hostility toward each other. So, you know, you don't want to get to that point, but oftentimes it gets to that point. But as Muslims and as believers, we need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has addressed this in his word of revelation. This is why we have to become studious in this way of life. We want to know what Allah says, first and foremost. We want to know what his Rasulullah, his messenger says. We want to know what the messenger did and maybe comparable situations in his life. You see, so that's very important. I want to just say that from the very beginning. And so if you have any questions or comments, we do advise you to press 1 at any point, and Quran will notify me that you're in the queue, and then you can be brought on. And we want those of you who are listening by way of the Internet, please, 714-816-4673. We want this to be an interactive learning lab tonight. And, you know, we're counting on you to be a participant and participatory in this learning lab tonight. So please make sure you got your pen and your paper ready. Inshallah, some noteworthy things can and will be said tonight. So, Quran, I think I talked enough. I'll give it back to you for tonight's topic on conflict resolutions.
Absolutely. Conflict resolutions. And in some of our posts, we talked about managing the ups and downs in a relationship. And we also talked about the fact that Allah says, you know, we should expect challenges, expect difficulties. And it is what we do that goes through them that helps us to really evolve as a better being. We've talked a lot about that on the program. So tonight I'm excited that we get to get into this subject a little bit more. And I want to first begin with a comment that somebody sent to us. They shared, I've heard it before, and it's meant to be a joke, but I wanted us to address it first. And it's a simple saying that says, first comes the engagement ring, then comes the wedding ring, then comes the suffering. And, you know, they laugh about it. But it's like we have this concept of marriage being a process of pain, and it should be joy in marriage, because
that's
Allah
right.
said that he has given it to us and given us that sakina, that tranquility. Tranquility is a really peaceful state like heaven on earth, and that's what we should find in marriage. So I want us to begin by just thinking about the paradigm that we have and having a paradigm shift with how we view this sacred union and how this sacred union is our benevolence and gift to our Creator. Change that thinking such that it's not suffering that we are expecting in that marriage. It is more of an opportunity for us to be pleasing, as you said, to God, and to work towards that pleasing through the relationship of people that we have chosen. And we choose people intentionally whom we believe share our values, they share our beliefs, and they share something that we can lock arms together and go forward in life, living together, growing together to be better human beings. If we're not evolving in our marriage relationships, then we need to rethink what's happening in that marriage, but to not look at it as this place of pain and hurt. And also, when the pain gets too great, we've got to run. That's another thing we have to really look at. So I want to begin first with just how we view marriage. and its purpose in our lives, because I think when we look at how we view it, our response to the things that come as a result of it will be different. So I want to begin there.
Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Karan, for that. So I'm glad that you brought that up, you know, the joy that we should be experiencing in the sacred institution of marriage. We should actually enjoy the marriage. We should welcome the challenges and the trials and tribulations that we go through. They are very essential for the growth and development, the maturity. We say that this is the womb of love. You know, everybody wants to be loved. This is human nature. It's natural to want to be loved and to express love, to give love, you see. So the sacred institution of marriage is the womb of love. You can't really have true love until you make that commitment to do what it is that Almighty God has said and established for us, very, very important. And all that encompasses that, you should embrace that. You know, in the Maya Oath or the Yuther, this is repeated twice in the Quran, in Surah 94 of the Quran. And Allah is putting a lot of emphasis on that. And you can take that, that it is that with the struggle comes to relief. The struggle comes to relief. And it's tied to our belief in terms of that. So, you know, Muslims and believers should not be saying first the engagement ring, then the wedding ring, and then the suffering. That's somebody, you understand, that do not have the faith or the belief in what it is Allah has established for us and the benefits that we will obtain from engaging in that sacred institution. You often hear me say all the time it's a sacred institution. Why? Because Allah has established it. Anything Allah has established, He's the owner of it, and it is sacred. The institution is designed to cultivate, to nurture, to grow us. And that's the type of growth that you can only get in the sacred institution of marriage, by engaging each other. Will you always agree? No, you won't always agree. It's not natural for you to agree on everything. But I do think that before we get into this topic, you know, Quran, something that should be said in terms of how do we get to, you know, that tranquility that Allah promises in the Quran. And I'm going to tell you that the sincerity, when we were talking about the prerequisites that in the courtship and getting to know each other, the courtship is tied to the partnership, or it's tied to the sacred institution of marriage. They're not separate. It's the process of getting to know. And so when you do the premarital questionnaire, and I do advise this because I do know that we got some couples on tonight that I invited personally, and hopefully they are listening in, that you get the premarital questionnaire and you go through it. And the prerequisites, again, is number one is sincerity. Why? Because the Prophet Muhammad said that religion is sincerity. So if you both are going to be practitioners of the religion, then you have to be sincere. And the other prerequisites, you understand, in that premarital questionnaire is honesty and integrity. And this is something, this is a quality that the Prophet Muhammad had before becoming the Prophet. But these are two outstanding qualities that you must have. And I'm still on the track in terms of tranquility here. And then last but not least is the transparency. To be open, honest, truthful, but very sincere. You see, because whereas we're talking about conflict resolution, we also want to look at commonality and compatibility. You see, when you talk about in terms of compatibility, that is the ability to be able to live and to work with each other with little or no conflict. Little or no conflict. So commonality and compatibility is essential in mate selection. If you see a whole lot of conflict in relationship, you can go back. You may look in the courtship. They were not united. They didn't have anything related. There was nothing related. There was no connection. There was no union. So consequently, there really was no marriage. And I have to say this because some of us think that when we have a nikah, we have a wedding ceremony, that we're married. That's far from correct. Some think we have a reception that we're married. Some think because we get a wedding ring that we're married. That's far from correct. It's incorrect. These are symbols, you understand, that may accompany the process of this. They have symbolic meaning. One day we'll talk about that. But that doesn't mean that you're married. Actually, the courtship phase is very, very important because, as Quran often says, it's a fact-finding, getting to know that person. And if you see there's more differences than things you have in common, then this increases the chances and odds for you having more conflict in your relationship. So, you know, that old adage is that an ounce of prevention is more than a pound of cure. Well, I think this could be prevalent in this conversation and communication information tonight, you know. So you're looking for a commonality. That's the reality. What do you have in common? And do you have more differences than you have in common? Well, you can probably see more conflicts happening in that relationship going forward. And compatibility, this ability to live and work, you know, live and work with each other, because some of those things we talked about as benefits. How will you build financial security for your relationship, for your family and your community if there's no compatibility? You don't even have the ability not only to live together, but not mention to work together. You won't be able to do it. See, so all of this is very important as we lead up into this subject in terms of conflict resolution. And because we know that it's real, it's happening in many relationships, the evidence, the proof is there, and even in Muslim relationships, it is a very time. I said enough, Quran. Give it back to you. Thank you.
I think that's wonderful what you said, and I want to go back to just that transparency part of it, because when you were talking, one thing that came to my mind is that sometimes when people think about transparency, they'll think about people sharing something that happened in the past that they need to bring to the front. Transparency also means being transparent with yourself.
Yes.
Such that you are open with yourself to review your own experiences to see what is it that you bring to the table. Because sometimes we put on our rose-colored glasses and see ourselves as perfect beings or beings with very little flaws. And we can see the flaws in everybody else with those glasses on. But we don't see ourselves, our own. And so when we start looking at what you just talked about, that opportunity to court somebody and to get to know somebody to determine if you have something in common and if you have compatibility such that you can live as a partners in the sacred institution of marriage. Well, that first courtship has to be with yourself. And in courting yourself, I would say to you to take those same questions from that premarital questionnaire and sit down and court yourself in the mirror. Go to the mirror and ask yourself, what kind of upbringing did I have that shaped me into the person I am? And then be honest with the person that you are. I am. I get angry quickly, or I'm cool and I don't get angry very fast, or I want to be a people pleaser, or, you know, who are you? Look at who you are, and look at who you are based on your upbringing. You talked about money. So what is your relationship with money? And when you look at your relationship with money, are you a spendthrift, or are you one who goes strictly by a budget or not? You just love to go and spend all that you have, and you're generous with spending. All of that has to be looked at who you are, so that you have a definition of yourself when you approach someone else. And if you're in a marriage and you didn't do the premarital questionnaire, I recommend you do that now. Sit and court yourself to know yourself, to understand who you are and what you bring to the table. And a lot of these challenges, that if you don't address them ahead of time, when you get to the seat where the heat comes, and that's usually when you discover some of these things, that heat comes and it starts to come out. When you start having these disagreements about how the money was spent, or you have disagreements about prayer even, like, what is your relationship with the Quran? Is it something that you read every day, or you only read it during Ramadan, or you only read it in the first 10 days of Ramadan? You know, what is your relationship with it? Because that you bring to the table, and then you bring that into that relationship. So you have to examine who you are. That's transparency, too, being transparent with yourself, because that will help you. When you get to the challenges, you're able to say, I know that I am a person who has. I'm working on myself in this way, and I want to work with you in this way with me so that I grow. And so it's not about pointing the finger at the other person, but you really put something back on yourself with how you respond to whatever challenges that may come into that relationship, and we can expect them. We need to expect the challenges. So I'm going to pause there, and then we can get into...
Oh, but Karen, that was powerful, very, very powerful what you said in terms of transparency. I'm glad you said that, and I like the fact that when you talk about courting yourself, to take it and to put the cherry on top of the icing that you just gave, and when you come to the conclusion after you courted yourself, then ask yourself the question, will you marry yourself? Would you marry yourself? You see that? So if you actually, the transparency, Quran, what you're saying is really powerful, because oftentimes it's looked at the other person in terms of transparency or just talking about your past. But what Quran said is very, very powerful. And that is noteworthy. You should put, that should be noteworthy. You should, if you're writing down something, you should have that on your notepad now. You understand? That the transparency in terms of the honesty, the integrity, the sincerity, and all of that, you should start with yourself in that regard. And then courting yourself, you see? And then, How well do you like who you are, or how many changes that you need to make? What is it that you like about yourself? What is it that you need to work on? Do a self-assessment, you see. And then, and after you court yourself, then ask yourself, would you marry yourself? I mean, you might think this is humorous, but we're not being humorous. We're very serious about that. You see, and there are some things that need to be removed off of the shelf of self. There are some things have expired, like taking the inventory that needs to be removed. And that's the best time to do it, the best time to do it. Because when we talk about preventing conflict, those things that sometimes that we have within ourselves that needs to be removed or should have been removed and it hasn't been removed, it becomes weight, and we call it baggage, and you bring that into the relationship. So what Quran said is very, very powerful. It can't be underscored. I just want to acknowledge that, you know, that transparency is a lot broader than most oftentimes the way we see it. And then we look at courting somebody else, but courting ourselves is very, very important. And just like in courting, you know, someone, to find out about them and getting to know them, to see if there's a relatedness, there is something that is very relative, a connection, a union, that actually will say that you too are indeed married, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're ready to understand, to make a commitment to live the rest of your life together. And then you have a nikah that says in that wedding ceremony that a marriage has taken place. But then try to see, you understand, it's called syzygy. That is the word for syzygy, you know, in terms of how well do you have, in terms of control sexual activities that are happening within you. Is there a lot of conflict within your own self? You hear, oftentimes you hear people say, well, my mind said one thing, my heart said something else. That's conflict, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Your thinking is one way, but then your emotions is something else. That's conflict. And the soul is seeking to always to get to become at peace or pleased and pleasing to its Lord and Creator. So
mm-hmm.
conflict really starts as an internal thing. I can say a whole lot about that. But I think all these preliminary things we're saying is very
yes.
essential, you see, very essential, because internal conflict produces external conflict with others. There has to be a reconciling of the masculine and feminine qualities that we all possess. I'm going to say it again. There has to be a reconciling of the masculine and feminine qualities that we possess. Otherwise, it would be difficult for a man to relate to a woman. Not, you understand, having that reconciled internally within himself. Other than that, he won't be a chauvinist. It was most recently said to me, somebody said, I wear the pants. I want you to know I wear the pants. Well, you can read into that. There's a meta message. That woman's going to be in trouble. If she's trying to have a voice, he might listen to her. But in the final analysis, it's going to be what he said. Why? Because he wears the pants. You see? So these are the type of things that we're seeing that can prevent conflict coming
mm-hmm.
into the sacred institution of marriage. But you got to pay attention to these things. You got to pay attention to the conversation, the communication, the information that you're getting, you understand, from others, but also from yourself. And you have to be sincere, honest, with integrity and transparency. Just like what Karan said. I didn't mean to say that much, Karan, but I had to underscore that because that's very, very valuable what you said. And so if we do that, be transparent with ourselves, open with ourselves, meaning honest with ourselves, don't lie to yourself, make a chart. These are assets. These are liabilities. See? And I know I got to work on these liabilities. Nobody's infallible. Don't make yourself. Nobody's infallible. The biggest room in everybody's house is a room for improvement. And so you should go into the relationship letting your mate know. The biggest room in my house is improvement. I know I got to improve on certain things. I'm working on these things. Now you can be transparent with them. And then they, if they really truly your soulmate, they'll be your helpmate. They'll help you, and you'll be able to help them. I think I said enough. I think I'll stop there. Back to you, Karan.
Yes, so as we get into now this subject, and, you know, sometimes we think, oh, my goodness, why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to struggle in my life, number one, in my relationship? And I it's a blessing. Allah tells us in the more than one time, but I'm going to say from Surah 2, Ayah 155, Allah says, be sure we shall test you with something of fear and hunger, some loss in goods or lives, or the fruits of your toil, but give glad tidings to those who patiently persevere. Now, here Allah is telling us, expect the struggle. Expect it. And so especially in the fruit, the things you strive for and you feel like I'm reaping some benefits here. Yes, there are benefits here. And you can expect the toil. Expect the struggle. And Allah says, but patiently persevere. So we have a Lord who has already shown us from the very beginning when, if we look at how life happens, when the sperm connects with the egg, it had to fight to get to the egg. It had to do this big rush and fight and really work, and then it had to push its way through. And then what happened when it pushed its way through? That egg and that sperm began to multiply. And those are the blessings that are coming as it's multiplying. But you've got to be able to push through. There was a toil to get to the egg that once it got there, it had a fertilization. And once that fertilization happened, then it began to multiply in the blessings as this being is being formed. And now in order for that being to get to the next phase of life itself, it had to fight again. And it had to come through some pain and some struggling and some hardships to get into the world. The carrier of that vessel was in pain, and the baby itself comes through pain to get into the world. So Allah does this because he says, be sure we will test you with this. We give you this. And then there's another part where he tells us that it is through or with the difficulty that we find the relief. And so as we began tonight's program, we talked about having a paradigm shift. So another paradigm shift, in addition to thinking and believing in the beauty of this marriage, no matter what's inside of it, is all beauty of the struggle. Looking at that struggle as a beautiful opportunity. Now, I know when you're in the midst of a struggle, it doesn't feel so beautiful. It is painful. It is difficult. And we may cry and have this, as Brother Mark was talking about, this turmoil inside of us. It's a painful thing, but it's a growing thing. And that's what you have to see. It's growing like the egg with the sperm is growing. The baby coming through labor and delivery and being born is growth. And so it's with that that we get it. So I want us to begin with this look at this paradigm shift from seeing our struggles and our opportunities as a curse or as something bad for the relationship. See it as this beautiful thing. Put on your smile and go with the flow of it. Go with it. Don't be the one resisting it. Go with it. You know, I work as a doula with mothers who are giving birth. And I'll say to them, go with the pain. Go with it. Breathe and visualize holding your baby. Visualize to my couples, I'm saying to you now, visualize the other side of this disagreement. Visualize you in harmony with one another. Go through this. Go through that labor. Read with it and go through it and look for the blessings because it's a promise, and the promise of Allah is true.
Alhamdulillah, that's beautiful Quran what you gave. That's a beautiful ayat because Allah, you know, I have to say this, Imam Muhammad, you know, very scholarly leader, and when we read ayat from the Quran, he said they're not just verses. They are signs. They are not only just signs, they are instructing signs. So Allah is giving us instructions. you know, in terms of what it is that we will encounter in life. He's given us instruction what it is that we will encounter in life. And so you have to do that. And he gives us signs in the natural world. I love the process of the caterpillar. Most people see the caterpillar as not such a beautiful creature. But when the caterpillar goes through that process that Allah has subscribed, that was prescribed before in them to go through, then we see the beautiful, beautiful butterfly. And we can look at that in terms of the sacred institution of marriage. You know, when we go through what it is that Allah has already given to us, it's instructing signs, we'll be able to see the beauty personified in the relationship. It becomes a beautiful return of a better human being. It becomes a return of a mature human being. You know, by yourself, you can't do it by yourself. You know, you can obtain certain things, material things, and all of this, but Allah meant for us to have mates. He created us in pairs, which is very, very important. So, you know, when we take in our instructions, the instructing signs of the Quran and what Allah has said that he has done for us, the first thing is that we should have an attitude of gratitude. We should be so grateful and thankful to Allah and what he says that he has even made for us from among ourselves. But it's so very important for us to really know in terms of getting more information of good mate selection. That's very, very important. And it can't be underscored enough. And so when we read the Quran, the last thing that we say, Sadaq Allah Uthin, surely Allah has spoken the truth. The Sadaqa that Allah gives to us is the truth. That is a charity that is to us. Allah didn't just create us and leave us. He gave us guidance in the Quran, and he also gave us al-basharun muslikun, a flesh and blood sensitive human being just like ourselves. And yes, he demonstrated marriage, you know, for us how it should be. So when we study the Quran, we also want to study the life of the Prophet, his marriage life. See, if you're going to be Muslim, you can't be Muslim halfway. You got to be Muslim the whole time in terms of that. And Imam Muhammad has said to us that the Muslim life is the conscious life. What does that mean? That means you're conscious in every aspect of your life, including the sacred institution of marriage. I'm hoping that's making some sense to us in that regard. See, so once you become unconscious, you're open, you understand, and you're very vulnerable and gullible for the shaitan to come and whisper into you and begin you to start your own thinking, your own opinions. We're talking about conflict. This is where conflict comes in. Mm-hmm. This is how I feel about it. This is what I think about it. This is my opinion. Now you understand. Now you're standing on that. You're not standing on the word of God. You're not standing on the word of revelation. You're not standing on the final revelation to all of humanity. You're not standing on the Quran. And the word Quran, it simply means that which should be read. Not only read, but also studied. And not only that, but also applied. Yeah, I know some of these things you're hearing for the first time, but if you're taking good notes, that's noteworthy. I'm not because I said it, but it's because it's true. And we want to prevent conflict. All this is very valuable information. And oftentimes conflict arises, you understand, because there's somebody that I want to stay with how I think or feel about this or my opinion. And the other person the same. See, that won't work, you see. So, but I had to say that, Quran, give it back to you. That's an excellent ayah to start off with, because we need to know what it is that we can expect in this life. So there won't be no shock. Allah is not going to shock us. not going to shock us. You know?
Absolutely.
And then Allah also says in the Quran that the human being can only get what they consciously strive for. This already says, mm-hmm. we talk about labor, this already said that it's going to be some work. It's yeah. already said that in the sacred institution marriage, it's going to be some work. You're working on yourself. You're working with your mate. You're working together. You understand? You're helping each other. And maybe areas that you need help in. But the goal is to get to Jannah. To get to the paradise, back to the garden. See, we have to consider. See, all of this is connected. It's not disconnected. Mm-hmm. It's all connected. And so as Quran and I speak about this, we want you to be making a connection. You should be, oh, wow. I never thought about it like that. You see, so those things about the engagement ring, the wedding ring, and the suffering, that won't be able to penetrate your thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You won't be impacted or influenced by that. You'll be influenced more by the word of God. Some people just want to be a poet. Just say things, senseless things, irrational, illogical things. Why would Allah just want you just to be suffering? Mm-hmm. But when you look at it differently, then have a different paradigm, then you say, yes, this is going to be some labor, but look what the labor produce. That's how we had to see it. Back to Ukraine.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to say this.
Indeed.
If you just tune in late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed. And tonight's topic is resolutions, conflict resolution tonight. And I know this is going to extend to at least a second week. But we'll give him some openings in terms of conflict resolution. I know this is a timely topic, and the Muslim community, those who are believers, we are not exempt from that. If we don't have the correct information, then we will have the defamation. And it is only the Quran, the word of revelation, that brings about a reformation in the life, you see. And a transformation. See, because we just don't want to be reformed, we want to transform so we can move ahead so that we can perform what it is Almighty God, Allah, would have us to do with this sacred institution that He has established for us. So we do invite you to press 1. At this time, up to this point, we want to know,
we got
some ones here. Let's go to our radio listening audience and see what they have on their mind.
All righty. We will start with 314-337. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air.
This is Rashid Salam, St. Louis, Missouri.
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Brother Rashid?
Alhamdulillah. First of all, let me say this. Amen. Secondly, how in the world do you expect anybody to want to press 1 on your phone when all the answers you guys are giving are pertinent and relevant?
Alhamdulillah.
What a wonderful presentation that you have put on tonight. I mean, there is no question on what needs to be done from a self-assessment. There's no question what needs to be done from your relationship with your Lord and Creator. There is no question about what's necessary to eliminate and make sure conflict does not exist. You have given us everything one needs to know on how to put their packet together and answer all the questions in a marriage situation. And you said one thing. Those who are already married need to also go back and reassess. That is absolutely stunning. A statement that we all should pay attention to, because in doing so, you're able to help your children a little bit better and your grandchildren a little bit better, because we reevaluated where we went wrong and so forth and so on. But, hey, I am just overwhelmed and blessed and thankful of the show tonight. It was just outstanding. I just wanted to say that. Salam
alaikum.
Thank you so much, Rashid Salam, for listening in, but also pressing 1 to call in. And Karan and I, we don't want to be intimidating in that regard, because we are inviting our regular listening audience to do what Rashid Salaam just did. If what is being said thus far, if it's resonating with you at any point in time, we're inviting you to press 1. Those of you listening by way of the Internet, we know we got a lot of callers out there listening by way of the Internet. Please dial into the studio, 714-816-4673. Press 1 and let us hear from you. If this is information, it may be new to you, or maybe it's just a refresher to you. However it is, if it's resonating with you, it makes good sense in terms of this timely topic, in terms of conflict resolution, please press 1 if you would. We'd love to hear from you. Karan?
All right. We are going to go now to 484-674. Welcome to the Courts of America Learning Lab.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum
assalam.
My name is Valda, and I'm calling from
Pennsylvania. Welcome.
Welcome.
Yes. A friend of mine gave me your number, and I listen to you on and off, and I really appreciate and I value the conversations that you have. In this whole thing with even looking at the controversy or the things that come between couples when they're married, from longevity to just new, and I don't know if this was said because I got in a little late, that I find both people have to be willing participants. And wanting to solve the controversy, and when once it's come to some type of resolution, to let it go, to not go back and when a situation comes that's similar and come back and remember that time when this is the same thing when it's and realizing it's not the same thing. It's something new, and apparently the issue was never resolved.
Mm-hmm.
But they both have to be willing participants to want to bring things to a resolution as well and not walk away and have those things lay dormant and manifest and they become something else.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good point. You know, sister, let me say this real quick, and Karan, I know you have something that you want to say. When you said that, it reminded me of an ayat in the Quran. I can't really recall, but I think it's in Surah An-Nisa, which is the fourth surah of the Quran. Allah says in the Quran, he says that if the both of them desire, want to restore peace, I'm giving the expression restore peace, then Allah will help to bring about the reconciliation that's there. So, sister, when you were saying that both would want to bring the have the resolution, you know, and then you don't want to bring that back up again, because actually when you actually resolve something that was a problem or issue there, you should actually bury it. Let it die and bury it. Don't just let it die, but you don't bury it. So, you know, for the dead, you have to bury. And so when something, you know, no longer is a conflict, it has to be buried. It has to be put away and not brought up again in that regard. So Allah is telling us there's a true desire to restore peace. See, that's what Allah promises, that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility and to have a peaceful union. And then it matters, Allah also says in the Quran, it matters where you disagree, you ought to refer it to Allah and His Messenger, which means you refer it to the Quran. That's the word of Allah. And the Quran is the final word in regards to that. There's no need for any more revelation regarding the message to the human being and also His Messenger, which is the demonstration of the word of the Quran. So this is very, very important, what you just said. It actually has to be on both parties, both parties, in terms of actually wanting to resolve that, where the reconciliation, Allah will bless that couple, you understand, to reconcile their differences, but the desire. This goes to the heart. When we start talking about the heart, that's why the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as Imam Muhammad said, that the Prophet said that all matters are judged by your niyyah, your intent.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to look at the heart as the intent, and those intents, intents for a God-conscious people should be pure intent and pure motivation, pure desire to please God first and foremost, but also, you understand, to make sure that we resolve our issues and matters. That should be the motivation, not to declare yourself the winner and you'll
mm-hmm.
make the loop. It can't be about that, you see. And those persons that have a proclivity for that, they're going to beat you up with that. And those people who are not merciful, they're going to have a difficulty forgiving and letting it go. And those are the type of persons that continuously bring it up. And those are the type of persons, you understand, that continuously bring about the conflict. Because it just brings back those feelings and everything. Once you went over that road and you felt you got over that road and that this was a dead issue, when it said dead, a dead issue, and you thought it was buried, but it never was buried, not in that person's mind. So they continuously do that. So that reconciliation, reconciling within yourself, what Quran was saying earlier, is very, very important. Very, very important. You know, so sometimes we have to just assess ourselves. What is your motivation? What is the state of your heart? What's your intent? What's your motivation? What are you trying
mm-hmm.
to prove here? Ask yourself those questions. I'll stop there, Karan. I know you have something to say. Great point, though.
Well, I do not have to reiterate what you said. And, sister, thank you so much, because that's a very
yes.
good point that you bring up. It is, number one, I think it goes back to what we said when we said about being pleasing to Allah. So it's not about your ego. So it's not about proving yourself to be right in a situation or proving yourself to be better. You both go in there for the relationship, and you're both in this struggle together to build upon this gift that you're given, this marriage. It belongs to Allah, so it's not a fight against one another, but a fight for the marriage itself. And when you do that,
mm-hmm.
I think that when you do that, then you won't be those people who are toiling like you were saying. I love that. Thank you so very much. We appreciate your comment. Thank you for pushing one.
Yes.
You're
thank
welcome.
You so much. Continue to listen, and if you have any more comments that you'd like to make, you can press 1. Press 1 as you go out. Keep the studio clear. And if you got any more questions, we do invite you to press 1 to come back in. Karan, do we have any other callers that press 1?
Those are the only two we have that press 1. We have others who are listening. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
And I really want to say, when we are looking at this conflict, and I want to get into when people are in the midst of conflict, it can be really overwhelming. And I have seen, you know, I've been in Juma sometimes and a few times where there will be people making dua and they just break down and cry right there because of the challenges they're going through in the relationship. And I know that because I will, when they're finished, go over and embrace them and hug them. And as they wail on your shoulder, they'll just talk about that pain, you know, and you were talking about being a model, you said. No, that was the caller. You talked about being a model for the children and the grandchildren.
Yes.
And I had a couple who, when they were struggling in their relationship, and a grandparent called the wife, and she's the grandparent of the husband, and she called the wife and she said, "What's going on with y'all?" And the wife said, "Ask your grandson." And she said, "Well, he doesn't talk to us." And she said, "That's a part of my problem. He doesn't talk to me either." And that's because in y'all's relationship, through his life, through two generations, his parents and the grandparents, they didn't talk to each other. So now he's in a marriage, but he doesn't know how to talk, how to communicate to his wife, who's begging him to talk to her. And so, you know, I'm telling her, you got to be patient with him as you now model for him. You're talking to him. Don't give up on him talking. So you have to model for him how you talk and help him. She said, well, I feel like I'm growing him. I'm raising this man. And that's a part of what we have to do. I'm saying this because this is a part of the struggle in our relationship where we feel like we're raising. One may feel like they're raising the other. And you may be. Because if you have some things, he didn't know how to communicate until he was in the marriage, where communication became a need in that relationship. It became a necessity. So he thought he was a great communicator because he would say some things he wants, but he didn't say what's in his heart. He didn't talk about his feelings. He only talked about superficial things. And so you have to learn how to communicate. And so that is a model, going back to what the caller said, that's a model for your children and your grandchildren, learning to open up and talk. So doing that questionnaire, thank you so much, Brother Rashid, for mentioning that. Doing that questionnaire will help you just to examine your own way of doing things. And it'll help. And I love, sister, thank you so much. Just to say, everybody's got to want this. You both have to want it. So if she's struggling to make the marriage work and he's like, I don't care, it'll be a bigger struggle. But if he says, okay, I'm going to try this, this is going to be hard, I'm going to try it, then it makes it a better struggle together.
That's right. Very well said. Very, 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 very well said. It takes two. My grandma used to always say, Grand, it takes two to tangle. and so it takes two to actually bring about resolution and also reconciliation. And so when we have that desire, this is what Allah said. It's not me saying it. We have that desire. Remember, it's the state of the heart. The heart being the pure intentions. It should be the pure intention, the pure motivation, the pure desire, you see, to want to have peace. You know, the natural creation, Quran, actually, when we look up at the night sky, it shows peace, order, and beauty. This is something Imam Muhammad said. You know, when we look up, if we call the heavens up in the sky, and we see peace, order, and beauty. Now, that's a sign that that is what it is that we want for the sacred institution of marriage. We want to experience peace, order, and beauty in the relationship. Nowhere do you see where there's conflict, We don't want we don't want to get to the point where it becomes conflict, whereas it regresses, if you will, from I disagree. Now, there's some things that are just subjective. It's no big deal. We talk about certain things. You like certain colors better than other colors, and I would recommend, man, don't ever get into an argument. As Imam Fahim Shuaib often called negotiation, I want this and your mate wants that. But when it comes to the internal decisions of the home, I would just recommend, brothers, just yield to your wives in terms of that. What is it she wants? You know, and she likes those particular type of colors that allow her to make those choices and everything, and don't produce a conflict, you know, in regards to that. You know, there's just certain things that, and at some point we may will do that, and maybe that might be the next thing. We haven't done it for quite some time here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. to have a learning lab on communications. And I think that would be a good mm-hmm. thing, maybe a follow-up after this, Quran, on communication, mm-hmm. you know, and looking at the styles of communication, male and female communications,
mm-hmm.
communicating mm-hmm. from a different platform, and a lot of gems that you can receive in terms of communication, how Allah has created us and constructed us in all of these things. And we're dealing with the natural creation, and we are a part of this creation, but to be able to understand each other better. So, yeah, Rashid, you're correct. This is what the premarital questionnaire was designed to do, especially for those who traditionally just have not been good communicators. Don't say much. Don't talk much. Don't ask any questions. So you have to talk with the premarital questionnaire. There's no getting around it. Even for those who may be a little shy, you understand, you have to be engaged in that. So it's designed, you understand, to improve our communication skills, but also to the honesty and integrity and the transparency that's in play with those categories and those questions and everything. For some, they wouldn't have very much conversation. They wouldn't even know what to talk about. After they get past, assalamu alaikum, how was your day? Oh, fine, alhamdulillah. How was your day? Oh, fine, alhamdulillah. Now, what do we say after that? I'm not trying to belittle this or denigrate this, but some people just have difficulty in terms of communication.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps to be able to have a guideline to go through the courtship, because how will you find out about certain things? You might see that person is not the person for you, nor are you the person for them. You have absolutely nothing in common, or very little in common, you see. So how can that be compatibility? Where would we get the tranquility, you know? And so the very thing we want to try to prevent, all the indicators are saying, wow, y'all going to have some real conflict in this. a lot of resolve ain't going to be going on here, you know. And it go right back around again, but we want you to see the connection here, very, very important. For those who may just tune in late, you listen to IWDN Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shahid, and we're talking about conflict resolution in our relationships and everything. We do invite you to press 1 if you have anything that you'd like to say in regards to that, any questions that you want to ask in regards to this topic. We welcome that. Or you might want to add something to it, or you might want to give us an experience, share an experience in terms of a conflict with yourself or somebody that you know. Or I'm going to ask my what I call a mini survey in a little bit and see how much participation we get. So, Quran, what else do we have that you'd like to share with us? I know something probably else from the Quran ayat that can be read and studied that will help us with this topic in terms of conflict resolution in our marriages. But a lot of this information can be conflict resolution with any affair. Affair is a mm-hmm. relationship. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, and I think it's important for us when we look at, since we're on our paradigm shift, Allah says it could be you dislike a thing while it is good for you. And sometimes in the conflict and in the word that's used is like, it means nagging or someone who is constantly badgering you to do something. We want it to go away, and we want it to, because it doesn't feel good when someone presents yourself to you and you have to face it. And so sometimes we want to be on the other side of that, and we want to run. And so I love the saying that I'm in it to win it, and that we don't run when there is work to be done. And so we have to really put our hearts and our minds into it, as the sister was saying. So both of you into making it work. And with that, then we look at what Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, tells us in the Quran, when our conflicts do come, when those challenges come, then one, we have to look at what he says in Surah 4, Ayah 19. And you were talking about Surah 4 earlier. But one thing he says is, live with them in kindness. Live in kindness. Even if you dislike them, perhaps you dislike something in which Allah has placed much good. And so in that person, in that experience, in that thing that you may find distasteful or a challenge or something you don't like, then look for the good in it, because Allah says it may be something in that that you don't like, and there is much good in it. And then I love how this begins with, live with them in kindness. So when we are in the midst of conflict, don't be so angry and so bitter that we're mean and begrudging, and we find ourselves doing mean things, saying mean things. That's not what Allah wants of us. He wants us to be those who live in kindness with the people that we find differences in. And I think that is a big discussion for us to have. How do you find a way to be kind to someone who is not kind, someone that you are not happy with, someone that you are angry with, especially if you haven't learned that early on? How do you do that? So we have to learn to do as Allah tells us in his book, Surah 4, Ayat 19, live with them in kindness. So I'm going to pause there. I'm going to say to you, our radio listening audience, we want to hear from you. Just as we heard from our other two callers, we want to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment about what we're saying here, this is an opportunity. Chime in. How does this resonate with you? Does it sit right with you? Do you have a question about ways that you can be kind? Because we can talk about that too, these getting through the anger times, the times you're angry, getting through that, or the bitter times. And for some, you know, we have a rule in our religion, 3 days. That's your max on how long you can be angry and not speak to someone or whatever you're going to do in that angry moment. You have 3 days, and you got to find a way to reconcile and work through, you know, as a part of this. So go ahead.
Yes.
But what
you
do
know,
you do?
Yeah. No, go ahead, Karen. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. That's it.
No. You know, when you were saying in terms of anger, and I'm glad you brought that up, that you can't stay in anger mode. And, you know, we've said here on the Question of a Marriage Learning Lab, once again, this going back to we reported the prophet said in terms of four categories, in terms of where people will fit in one of those four categories. So now this becomes, again, an assessment of who you are when you become angry. You see, this is all tied to in terms of conflict, how long a conflict, in terms of even producing a conflict, because generally speaking, when people become angry, they say and do things that they generally would not say and do. So the Prophet Muhammad has said that there are four different categories, that everybody falls into one of those categories. Now, we're not asking for any confessions. We don't do confessions in Al-Islam. You know, there's not Catholicism and that in that regard, doing confessions and all of that. But Allah's messenger has said there are those who are quick to anger, but they're quick to cool down. One quality compensates for the other. Then he said there are those who are slow to anger, but they're slow to cool down. One quality compensates for the other. And then he said that the best of you in terms of anger, are those who are slow to anger, but quick to cool down. The best of you are slow to anger, but quick to cool down. Now, remember, just look at it in the context in terms of how conflict can arise in a relationship. And then he said the worst of you. This is a red flag. This is not only a yellow flag of caution, but it's a red flag in terms of hold up, wait a minute, stop. The worst of you are the ones that are quick to anger but slow to cool down.
Mm-hmm.
A person like that or two persons like that, you can always have conflict in the relationship because they're quick to anger. And they slow to cool down, which means that it's a long-lasting thing. To go back to what Karan was making reference in terms of our way of life, it says 72 hours. But the quicker you can get something resolved and reconcile any differences that you have, the better off you are. So it is designed so that you don't continuously be in a state of anger.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you're Muslim, then the Prophet Muhammad has recommended as a remedy. This is, look at it as a remedy. He has said, this is God's messenger. He said that if you're angry, you need to sit down. You standing up, you might do something because you're more free when you're standing up. You might do something physical, because you're standing up. He said you need to sit down. And if you're still angry after you sit down, then you need to lay down. You have less movement when you sit down, but you have even have more or less movement when you lay down. And if you are still angry, you can't rest, then you need to get up. The Prophet said, and make wudu, which is a needed prerequisite before you make prayer. And then he said, you need to make prayer. And you can't go to prayer with a befogged mind. Anger, they say, blows out the lamp of the mind, where you will have a befogged mind. And so in terms of being angry, you're going to say some things. And you're going to do some things that could and would become regrettable. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. And that's when oftentimes that person will become defensive, and then they get in anger mode, and they become offensive. And oftentimes those things that you say it can produce deep hurt. So you don't want to, if you get angry, as the Prophet said, you want the best of you are the ones that slow to anger, but quick to cool down. And you don't want to be the worst, those of you who are quick to anger but slow to cool down. That means you're always in an anger mode. Primarily you're in an anger mode. Either you're angry when the person, your mate, see you in the morning, you're still angry. And you're angry for something that happened 2 weeks ago. You're still angry. How will you have that tranquility that Allah promises? See, these are things and steps that you can actually take, you understand, to reduce that in your relationship, you know, in terms of preventing it to become digressing or regressing to the point whereas that now you're off topic and you begin to say denigrating things to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that produces more and more conflict in the relationship, which is very hurtful and detrimental to the relationship. Instead of growing together and becoming more of a unison relationship, it becomes more of a parting relationship. So, you know, when it says the divorce is the most hated halal, but I think one of the things is even more disliked is to have that type of marriage because it does not model. And somebody said that was one of the benefits of marriage. It's designed to model for our children, our progeny, those who are looking and wanting, you understand, to have those benefits and seeing a working relationship, to see two adults being teammates, working and helping each other, not in terms of competition or opposition, but actually working together for the benefit of the relationship, but the benefit of the family life, the community life, even human society. That becomes a preservation for what it is that Allah wants us to establish. And it's very, very difficult if you're in anger mode. Anger mode, you have a different attitude, a different disposition in what you say and what you do. And once those words come out, it's only so many apologies that you can actually have in the relationship. And all those apologies then become, are they genuine? And especially if you're continuously apologizing for the same thing. It may be that you need some clinical help in terms of anger management and all of that, you see. But, you know, Quran, I just think it's so important. It can't be underscored in terms of this courtship, how important that is, how important it is. What you said earlier, I'm still thinking about it in terms of courting yourself. Obviously, if you have an anger problem, who would know best other than you, outside of Allah, but you would know. So the transparency, you know, it, you can't be evasive of that. Knowing you got an anger problem, you know, boy, I got you like, hey, I'm going in this relationship, I got to get control of myself. I need help. You see, you know when you know we've used this kind of formula before when we talk about something as a problem or an issue. And it's like the doctor once said to a patient that came in that they had issues with their spouse, they had issues with their children, they had issues with their spouse's family, they had issues with the neighbors. They had issues with their friends. They had issues with the community members. And then they turned to the doctor and said, what do you think it is? What do you think the problem is? The doctor said, issue. You. And they didn't get it the first time around. You say, what? The problem is you. You keep talking about issue. No, the issue is with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes until we see that, you know, then we can't really work on that. And we have to face that's the problem. That is the issue or the problem that sometimes we have is to face it. Everybody else can see it's you, but you. You can't be evasive. You have to face it. And then the next step is that you have to trace it. Where did this come from? How long have I been dealing with this? And I'm not even aware of when it even started. What's the roots of this? Somebody is saying in terms of going back, I think, Karan, you said it earlier, in terms of going back to your socialization. Children, they learn what they live. Maybe the problem goes back to your socialization, how you were socialized, your acculturation, the culture that was established in the first social unit, which is the family life. And it's only after you face an issue or a problem and then trace it back to its roots can you erase it. Cannot be erased until those first two steps are taken. And then the final step is to replace it. You want to replace it with a better mental attitude and a better disposition, which will bring about better behavior in the relationship that will not continuously produce conflict after conflict after conflict. Oh, there's a lot more could be said about that, but I think I said enough for a while. And you are listening to IWDM Radio. You're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shahid. And tonight's topic is on conflict resolution. And I think, Quran, that this is a good time, do a little mini survey here. And
well,
I'm going to ask you all
do,
of...
Before you do, we have a caller with their hand up, and they've had it up for
a minute.
Oh,
okay. Let's go to the caller and see what they have on their mind, and then we'll go to the mini survey.
Yes, 810-399. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
I think I know that
810-399.
It should be 399.
Yes.
Assalamu
alaikum. Well, look at my... Oh, she said, you know what? It sounds like she said five. Alhamdulillah. Well, look at my salam to you, Brother Mark Shahid, and to your engineer, and to Sister Ann Shakir, and to the IWDM listenership. This is the Pastor Haji coming on.
I thought so.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to don't give it to you. Don't y'all start a thing with me. Yes, everybody getting hugs, big tight hugs tonight, and love. Because that's just what you're putting out there in the presentation. And you know, that's just like what Allah said to us in the Quran. It says, you know, it was a particular situation, but it can go for any event or any situation that we're dealing with. Always look for the good in everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah, you know, because sometimes they say, oh, well, it's the worst thing, and I can't, and they go on and on and on about the worst of it. But did you stop to think about what was good in it rather than dwelling on the worst that it was? Because in every situation or event, there is good just as well as you can find as well as you can find the bad. There's some good in there. And they say even a clock is right. All, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah. But so I shouldn't even brought that because I couldn't even remember, but you know what I'm talking about. But, you know, so when we're doing that and we're talking about relationships, you know, sometimes something can be said in the relationship, and because our idea is not perhaps maybe necessarily on seeing the good of what that was, you know, you'd be like, oh, well, hold up, because, no, nah, that ain't going to fly right there, because, you know, that's like a negative, and no, we ain't even going out like that or dealing with that, you know what I'm saying? So then there you go. You constantly got a conflict. Because one is saying, well, this is what I'm thinking and feeling, and I'm going to hold on to it. And the other said, well, I ain't dealing with that. You know, so that's a conflict. But if you try to resolve, as you're saying, conflict resolution, then you're going to inquire so that you can come out with that outcome that Allah, Son of Allah, has said for us to have, and that's seeing the good in it, everything, you know, and where
I love it.
It was true. It would certainly be helpful in making a decision that was perhaps crucial for that relationship. Yes. Thank you so kindly.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so kindly, the priest of Hadi, for calling. Don't be no stranger here to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You know, we, Quran and I, we always appreciate hearing your insight and wisdom, and Allah bless you with. I want to say that she's one of the very distinguished, esteemed hosts on our sister station, AM 360. And she has an excellent learning lab, Al Islam In Focus Learning Lab, that happens each and every Saturday night. And it begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time on AM 360. It's each and every Saturday night. And the call-in number, see if I remember, is 515-605-9891, and you can call in to the sister station, AM 360, and you can tune in and listen to our beloved sister, the priest of Hadi, and it's an excellent learning lab, especially for new Shahadas, and then, as she said, seasoned believers, seasoned Muslims. I got that terminology from her. Never heard that before, but seasoned, been around for a long time. It's a good refresher course in terms of the basic and fundamentals of the religion of Al-Islam. It's an excellent learning lab. I endorse it. I listen in every opportunity I get. So please tune in. Thank you so much, dear sister, for calling in and sharing that insight and wisdom. And I agree with you 100%. You know, when you were speaking, you know, it brought, I'm always thinking with the Quran, What does Allah say in all of this? You know, there's many that Allah gives us in the Quran, whereas that we head off conflict or continuous conflict in the sacred institution of marriage or any relationship. But specifically, Allah even gives us an instructing sign. You know, of course, we have to be open to it, and we have to be willing to utilize these instructions that Allah gives us. The instructions is for the construction of the relationship to stay intact, not for the destruction of the relationship. It only becomes a destruction when it is that we put our word, our thinking, our opinion, and our feeling over God's word. See, last week, and that means we can't partner, nor can we associate anything with Allah. Okay, so, you know, we don't see, we can't see Allah. We can only see Allah in the natural, see Allah's work and his handiwork in the natural creation, but we can also see Allah in his word of revelation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, you understand, where there is disagreement, that the two in the relationship can summon an arbiter. I don't know if some of you read the Quran, you remember this. You can summon an arbiter, one from the, one side of the family and another from the other side of the family. But let me say this. The arbiter, there's credentials for being an arbiter. One of the first credentials for being an arbiter is to be unbiased. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. You can't be a fair arbiter and be biased. You know, even in the court system and the jurisdictional system that has been set up, they have taken and extrapolated from the Quran many gems. Mm-hmm. You can't be a part of a jury when they question you and they see or suspect that it may be a biasness. You cannot be part of that jury because of a biasness. Mm-hmm. Well, how would you be able to help a couple if there's a bias? Oh, this is my brother. Mm-hmm. This is my type. So whatever is said, I'm going with him. That's my boy. Or this is my girl, you know, on that side, in terms of, oh, no, I can't go against her. So to be an arbiter, and when Allah is speaking, I forget the Arabic word there, but you have to be unbiased. You have to be unbiased. And you also, if this is a Muslim couple, you have to be knowledgeable in the deen. Knowledgeable in the deen. You have to be able to, what it is that you're saying has to be supported with God's word. This is very important. That's why these learning labs are built on what God's, the foundation for it is in regards to that. If you notice, most of the time when Quran is speaking, she's coming from the Quran. Yeah, I'm speaking coming from the Quran. That's the basis. So if anybody want to argue, you have to argue with God. Really, I don't think too many people would be foolish enough to argue with God's word. We have to try to measure up to what God's word is for us. And we have to relinquish what words we are operating on. It may go all the way back to our socialization. Mm-hmm. Honey, I'm just like this. Well, you know, you might, if you got an opinion or you got a thought or thinking that's contrary to what God says, then you have to face that, and then you need to trace it. Where did that come from? Where did you get that? Because obviously you didn't get it from the Quran. That ain't what God says. So now you are partnering or you are associating something with Allah. The Quran is our book of guidance. How are we going to know better than with Allah? We can't. We don't. We won't. Allah says, this is for you. You said, but I don't want that. You said, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so then we have to ask. I said, that's why what Karan was saying was so profound in terms of the transparency in looking at ourselves. There's sometimes it's an internal conflict. That's what I said earlier. It's an internal conflict. How we see ourselves and how we see others. Mm-hmm. And then are we really being transparent? Are we really being honest with ourselves? Mm-hmm. You see? So this is very, very important. The arbiter, that's another quality or characteristic. You got to be unbiased. Have to be knowledgeable. And that being unbiased means you just don't take sides with somebody because that's a member of your family, and then vice versa. And then you have to be able to say to them what God says. And knowledgeable. So that's a credibility that has to be there with the arbiter. But this is something that's in the Quran. For those of you who read the Quran, you know what I'm saying is true. Those of you who don't read the Quran, this might be something new to you. But this is to help to salvage the destruction of that marriage.
Yeah.
If you choose to do that. See, that's the thing. See, this is why Allah is revealing in verses, not verses, but look at ayats now. Start looking at ayats. Don't look at ayats just as verses in the Bible.
Right.
You know? Don't forget there's a verses in the Quran. Look at it as Imam Muhammad has taught us. The ayats are instructing signs. And then make the equation, instructing sign is the message. That's the message in the ayat. So if we don't get the message, then the first four letters of message is what? We get the mess. Conflict produces a mess in the relationship. Oh, I could keep going on, but I think I said enough. I better stop there. Thank you so much, my dear sister, DePresa Hadi, for calling in. We always appreciate your commentary and all. It's always welcome here on IWDM Radio. Please continue to listen. If you have anything you'd like to say before we sign off, as we get close to the top of the hour, you can always come back, press 1. We really appreciate your comments.
We
got another caller. Okay, let's get to the caller and see what they got on their mind.
Yes.
Thank you.
267-258. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum. This is
I know that voice. Who are you?
Yes.
And where are you calling
from? From Pennsylvania, the blue state.
Yay.
That took the votes and did what we had to do.
That's
all
right.
Yeah, you did it too.
Yeah, from the blue state. That's right. With all doubt.
But you know, I have to say this though, Rahima, before you say that.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the Phillies, but anyway.
Oh, but
African American manager.
Hey,
I was pulling for Houston.
Listen.
Because we had an African-American manager that's going into the Hall of Fame, had never won a World Series. So I have to say, I'd be honest, I was pulling for the African-American manager to make history, winning his first World Championship at the expense of the Philadelphia Phillies.
Well, guess what? Just tie your seatbelt for the Eagles, okay? Because we haven't lost a game yet. So tie your seatbelt.
I knew I would ruffle your feathers a little bit there.
So listen,
the Eagles, they got feathers, right?
I've just been really enjoying the program and the conflict, you know what I mean? Yeah, we hit the court, that's what it is, but... it's so beautiful what you were saying, because I think people have conflict within themselves. And and if you know you've been married a couple of times and you get divorced and then you get married and then you get divorced, you got to really take a look in the mirror and say, what are you running away from? Like, it's you know... as young people, when we were younger, we were children. It goes all the way back to when we were younger too, and how we really dealt with conflict with our families, with our parents, mm-hmm. when we went to school. You know, how did we, when we went to work for our first couple of years of when we were 18 and 19 working, how did we deal with conflict on our jobs? And then mm-hmm. it goes into relationships. And sometimes people really run from themselves because they can't deal with certain characteristics that they haven't learned how to change. So mm-hmm. even now you see people, you know, you have to, even with myself, I'm like, okay, listen, because a lot of times we are like a runner. Like when things get on your nerves, you're ready to go. Like this is it, you know. But then mm-hmm. you have to slow down at some point in your life and say, wait a minute, you know, when do you stop and balance yourself, adjust yourself, receive what is happening, receive it in your very soul, and ask Allah to really help you overcome. And that person that you have in conflict with, if it's your spouse, if it's your neighbor, if it's your siblings, what is it in that conflict that you're not looking at yourself? Because in every conflict, you can find growth
mm-hmm.
to grow yourself up. And then if you really deal with that conflict properly, you can help that other person grow as well. It reminds me of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that we shouldn't get angry over 3 days. So then when you uh-huh. take a look at that during Ramadan, before Ramadan starts, what do people do? Everybody wants to find somebody that they don't, you know, I apologize, I'm ready to apologize. So at that point in our lives, we're like ready to look at ourselves, because now we know that Allah is going to take a closer look at us during Ramadan. So we want to purify ourselves before we go into Ramadan and apologize to people that we have been having conflict with. And some of the best marriages are during Ramadan, because during that time, you're just so peaceful with who you're trying to be.
Absolutely.
So conflict is definitely a self observation.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember what Iman Pasha from Atlanta, may Allah grant him paradise. Mm-hmm. Iman Pasha had came to Philly one time, and he was talking about marriage, and he was saying, when a divorce takes place, it's because someone has become a disbeliever. That's what he said. He said, usually when a divorce takes place, one of those partners have become a disbeliever, whether they are disbelieving in the marriage or disbelieving that Allah Ta'ala had put them together or disbeliever in something. And he said, at that point, someone has to stop being Muslim. He said that too. He said they stopped submitting themselves to the will of God, to the Quran. What does the Quran say? Can't we go to the mm-hmm. Quran and figure this out? Like Mark always say, you got to go back to the Quran. Because the Quran right. is the solver. It's the guidance. Surely without doubt. And so some people preach a good preaching, but then they don't. The Quran say what? Do you not follow that which you preach, you know, to others? So that makes me look at myself and say, okay, if I tell another couple, you could do this, you know, you could overcome. I got it. When I have conflict in my marriage, I got to say the same thing.
You know, that's very profound what you're saying
yeah.
in terms of the introspect. You know, I mean, you know, retrospect, but introspect in terms of how it is that we have to look inside of ourselves and see ourselves. That's why you may not have been on earlier, but Quran was saying she introduced a terminology in terms of courting yourself. yourself. She was talking about courting yourself, and also she gave even a broader definition to transparency, you know, mm-hmm. that not only in terms of transparency, in terms of a person's past, but looking at others in that regard, but the transparency that you have to have with your own self, And when she said courting yourself, I said, well, she put the icing on. I just put the cherry on there. Then after you court yourself, then the question becomes, would you marry yourself?
That's right. And we talked about that before, because some people, I don't like to be by myself. Why not? Why you don't like to be by yourself? You know, like before I got married, I had started going to the movie by myself. We sit in the movie, crack it up. I would go to dinner by myself. I had to start falling in love with me. And, you know, and that's what you have to do. You really do. You have to love who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And it's enjoyable. Try it, believers. If you're listening to our call and you realize that maybe you haven't had a good date with yourself, you know, lately, maybe you need to date yourself and see if you really like yourself. And that's all I got. And I'm sticking to it.
That was a lot.
You know, I'm excited about December the 9th. I'm looking forward to seeing all my family. I'm hoping all y'all coming. I'm really excited. I hope I see everybody.
Entirely right.
You know,
and look, it's almost 4 weeks away.
Yes. I'm excited.
Alhamdulillah.
So thank
you
for allowing me to share. Love y'all.
Thank you. Love you too.
Thank you. Love you too. Alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Rahima. Press one as you go out. And, Quran, I tell you, boy, time is really fine when you're having fun here, isn't it? Look, we want to give everybody opportunity. So we're going to do a real quick one here. Survey, many survey. You don't have to say anything if you don't want to say anything. But we always like to know, you know, what you've heard tonight in terms of conflict resolution. Has it resonated with you? It was a benefit to you, just in general, specifically. At this time, I'm going to ask you to press one. If, in fact, that what you heard tonight resonated with you and you found it to be beneficial, I'm going to ask you to press one. I'm going to hold it to, I'm going to count to 10. Just hold it. Press one if it resonated with you. And I'm at 5. And I'm at 10. Grant, did we get any participation?
We got a lot of people with their hands up.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you'd like to say something, we'll keep it very brief in terms of just in general or specific, then stay in the queue. But if not, then you can press 1 and go out the queue at this time, and because we'd like to hear from some more, just like we heard from Rahima. So do we have any that stayed in the queue that like to share a little something in terms of what resonated with them?
We do.
Okay.
Let's
see what they have
on
their mind.
Start on time. We'll go to 718-344. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Say your name and where you call it from.
I enjoyed what I heard. Well, I need to mention this. I know of a sister who's 73, 74. She says she don't need a husband. She can have her own car, which she has. She has her own house. She has her own money in the bank. She can go wherever she wants. If she want to cook, she can do that. If she don't, she can do that. She said she's not really looking for no husband. So what do y'all say on that?
Okay. And then, you know what?
I want to save it to next week since we're right out.
What would you say on that?
It's going to take more than 2 minutes for that. That's a good one to start with.
That's a good one. When we ask a sister, if you would please, because I know we got a couple more callers that want to say something, let us table that until next week. Quran, make a note of that, and then we will respond to that. We ask the sister to come back. And sister that called in, please invite that sister to tune in. That'll be one of the first questions that we'll take next week, because we want to do due diligence to that, you know, in terms of that mindset and disposition. thank you so much for that. That'll be one of the lead things that we'll start off with next week. Okay,
yes.
Press one, my
thank
sister.
You.
And who else we got there that's in the queue that want to say
that
something?
That was it, but we just have 1 minute before it's time for us to sign
okay,
out.
Okay, 1 minute. Okay,
yes.
Then, Karan, then, you know, you take that minute, and because I know you want to
let
the regular audience
know. Yes. To our listening audience, first of all, we thank you as always. We're very grateful for you. Thank you to those who sent a text, who made a post and invited your family and friends to join you on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We ask you now to go to our Facebook and our Instagram. We are Bring It to the Lab. If you're not already following and liking us, follow and like us. If you are following and liking us, we ask you to go ahead and make a comment on our post. Just go in there in the comment section and say, I learned this tonight on this program, or I am so grateful for this, or tag somebody on the post just so they'll know, okay, this program was on and you watched it. We invite you to do that. Be a part of our promoters of this opportunity that we have made so that we can build strength in our community. We believe that marriage is the bedrock of community life, and if we want to see our communities grow and get better, we have to see our marriages growing and getting better. So we thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We look forward to seeing you again next week. And if you have a question or comment, you want to email us, you can do that at bringittothelab@gmail.com. And we look forward, as I said, to you next week. Mark, I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Alhamdulillah. And the praise and thanks belong to Allah first and foremost. And I want to thank you, Quran Shakira, as always, for gracing us each and every Thursday and with the wisdom and insight that Almighty God, Allah, has blessed you with to share this platform with me here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab here on IWDM Radio. I want to thank the radio listening audience because without you, there wouldn't be an IWDM Radio, nor would we have productions such as the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. One that says the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio is tomorrow is Friday. That's Salat to Jumu'ah Day, Muslim worldwide. For those of you who are immobilized and can't get out and about, you can come back here to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer, for Salat to Jumu'ah. It begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 1 p.m. Central Standard Time and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. The longest-running production on IWDM Radio is Words Make People with the very distinguished esteemed Imam Mikhail Sahir. And that happens each and every Sunday afternoon. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's high noon Central Standard Time and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. The beginning of the week, Distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam and his returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, on the science of the U Learning Lab. You need to have your pen and notebook. A lot of great information. It begins at 7 p.m. Eastern. It's 6 p.m. Central Standard Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio, the science of your health and you. And that brings us to Wednesday, which is the Sister Learning Lab to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That is the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished and esteemed host, Dr. Patricia Slaudine, and yours truly, Mark Shaheed. And that happens each and every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. Outstanding publication, Parenting Skills Based on the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet, and practical applications for various ages is an outstanding textbook that we're using. We do encourage you to look into ordering that book as you can follow along with us in that learning lab. And following that table, and it is hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. Each and every Thursday, as I always like to bring and present to you, very outstanding esteemed guests inside of our community, outside of our community, and topics that be pertinent to us as a community. And this coming Wednesday, we'll have the last time that we'll have on, inshallah, those person key principal persons for this year, 2022. Time to be grateful will be joining me at the roundtable there in Washington, D.C. And so any questions, updates, and all, you'll have the opportunity to engage them, and they'll be bringing all the updates. Everything has been finalized and everything, so we'll be looking for you there the 9th and 11th. So please tune in for that, and that starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And we want to encourage you to make sure that you go ahead and get registered for this year's 2022, as you just heard, Rahima. It's going to be, as Don Cornelius said, it's going to be a blast, honey, because everybody's going to be there and all. And I'll be looking for you. Karan will be looking for you. She's looking at being there. We say, inshallah, God willing, that we all can be there. So we don't want to get it secondhand. So please make sure that you are there. Have your face in the place, as they say. And last but not least, let's support the Muslim Journal, as it is the lifeblood of our community. And it has been a source of information and education for many, many years. So with that being said, until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.